Friday to you, and welcome to a special episode of the Agent Survival Guide podcast. This is our Friday Five, where we highlight five things you should know about.
And it's also our series, Agent Apps, where we introduce you to apps that will make daily life and your business run smoother.
Yes, this is the first of its kind, an official mashup of our Friday Five and Agent Apps series, and we hope that you enjoy it. To set the scene a little bit here, last year, Google made the announcement that they were sunsetting their Google Podcasts player, moving that functionality over to YouTube Music. Now, the date for the beginning of that process is April 2nd, 2024. That is the day when Google will stop the app from being updated, so users won't be able to play new episodes from that date on.
The second part of that process will happen sometime in June, and that's when users will lose the ability to migrate or export their subscriptions. If you're currently a Google Podcast user, you have from now until June to export your subscriptions and switch to another podcast listening app.
Thankfully, Google Podcasts allows for something called an OPML export, which stands for Outline Processor Markup Language, and is a file format used to exchange lists of web feeds, including podcast feeds. We and Google recommend that users export and download their OPML so you can easily upload it to your new podcast app of choice, importing all of the shows that you are currently following. Next on the list that I want to mention up front, there are two obvious choices to switch to that are missing from this episode: Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That was intentional. Tina and I both agreed that both of these apps have been discussed enough that they are likely already in the running as replacement options.
What we wanted to do was highlight five apps that are accessible and have some unique features: Podcast Addict, Overcast, Podbean, Pocket Casts, and YouTube Music. The first one we're going to talk about is Podcast Addict. Now, this one is truly for those addicted to podcasts. It has so many features that I can't even talk about them all on the show today. And it's also important to remember that this is only for Android.
Okay, so Podcast Addict, what was your experience with downloading this app, your initial experience with it?
I will say initially, this app is very robust. It has a lot of features that I think can be confusing, especially if you're not used to other podcast apps. So I thought that feature was really nice because I feel like not many apps have a list of what the icons mean, and they kind of just leave you to figure it out yourself. So I really appreciated that about it. Another really cool thing is you can choose different languages that you want to listen to podcasts in. So it's not just podcasts that are in English. They have a very long list of languages that a lot of them I have never heard of. So I thought that was really cool for people who speak multiple languages and want to listen in another language that's not English.
Now, I know you've mentioned terms and conditions sometimes before in other app reviews. I feel like you focus a lot on privacy in a lot of your reviews. How was the privacy experience in Podcast Addict as far as those terms and conditions go?
Compared to a lot of other apps that I have downloaded on my phone, I feel like it is non-invasive. Like I said, you can disable the analytics tracking, and most of the information they collect from you, like downloads and listening times and patterns, that's collected anonymously. Now, most apps who have features like that will say that they'll collect some information if there's a bug or a glitch, specifically so they can fix that issue and not use your information for marketing.
Okay, so that's interesting because I feel like I would think it's probably the case for most of them. But again, I don't typically look at the terms and conditions. I typically, you know, just, okay, that's fine, as most of us do. And every time you mention it in any of your episodes, I think that we probably should not be doing that. Any other features that Podcast Addict had that really kind of caught your attention or that you thought were really cool?
So this particular feature is definitely for those addicted. On Podcast Addict, you can set an alarm to wake up to your favorite podcast or radio. You can even have it start where you last left off in an episode. I know some apps have the sleep mode where it'll go to sleep after a certain period. This is the first app I've seen that has the opposite, has an alarm where you can wake up to your favorite podcasts. I don't know if I particularly would use that feature, but I know, I'm sure, Sarah, you would, I'm sure you would use it.
I don't know. I don't know if that would wake me up. I mean, one of my first listens in the morning is The Hustle Daily Show, and I feel like they have a little bit of an ad before each episode actually starts with the theme music, and the theme music is very, like, pumping and driving, so I think that would wake me up. But I almost feel like with the soothingness of the ad before that, I'd probably kind of like, you know, cartoon, rocket out of bed and then maybe fall onto the floor. So anything else about Podcast Addict that you thought was interesting or different compared to some of the other apps?
Just the amount of specific features like the playback option, the alarm. They also have audiobooks powered by Loyal Books, which are free public domain audiobooks that you can access on Podcast Addict or Loyal Books website. Yeah, just the sheer amount of customization with playlists, and you can sync with Google Drive and Dropbox. There's just so much in this app that I feel like I'm only scratching the surface. There are two paid tiers. There's the ad-free. You can do a one-time payment of $6.99 to simply remove the ad banners. And then there's premium, which removes ads, updates in real time. You can create a playlist widget. It has more app themes and a lot more. You can pay 99 cents a month or $9.99 a year. So that's really not that much in the scheme of subscriptions where you pay $9.99 like a month.
Yeah, that's actually not really bad to have that at that level. Does Podcast Addict have ads?
It does have banner ads on the podcast interface, but as far as audio ads, those are dependent on whether or not the podcast itself has ads before in their episode. Mm-hmm. But there's no like separate ads as far as audio ads go.
Okay, so those are pretty much baked in ads that they're inside of the feed. That's kind of what when we refer to baked in ads, that's what we're talking about, that they're recorded into the feed, and then that's how it's delivered, as opposed to Spotify, which does a dynamic ad placement. And I believe those cannot be skipped over, but it sounds like if Podcast Addict has those baked in ads, sounds like you'd probably be able to skip over those.
Yeah, I think most apps that do have baked in ads, you can just kind of skip over it because it's part of the MP3 file. Another thing about the OPML input, yes, it does have that.
Okay.
But you explained what that was earlier, that those letters OPML don't mean anything to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was mostly for posterity's sake and the fact that I do try to define every little acronym and initialism that we come across here. Okay. So next up on our list, Overcast. Now, this one is kind of the opposite of Podcast Addict. This one is only available for iOS and web users. One thing I will say straight off the bat is that this is a pretty bare bones experience compared to some of the others that we're talking about here today. Now, Google Podcasts was pretty minimal, but I think even their setup was not quite this minimal. But if you like simplicity, you might like this app because of that. There are a couple neat things that I found with this one. Probably the inactive icon, which if you are a fiction podcast listener, it's kind of nice to know when a fiction series has been completed or if it's no longer updating. If it's one that typically was releasing episodes every week or every other week or something like that, that was maybe news related or topic related and it's no longer updating, you kind of know that up front that there's not going to be new episodes or that it is that complete fiction series. This one also, since we were just talking about that OPML import, that is also featured here. I think we chose apps that do support that functionality here, but we'll have to wait until we get through all of them to be able to say that for sure. I liked that inactive icon. Another feature that this one had was something called nitpicky details in the settings menu. This is where there were a lot of customization options, so that I think if you like some of those little details, like if you want to adjust the length of time that you're seeking forward and backward, or if you want to turn on smart resume or that one tap play, you can do that in there, but it's not, those are not settings that you're going to find by default that are turned on. Notifications can be customized. There is capability to create custom playlists. I made one based on our podcast, and I will say it did pull in some really old episodes from 2018. So I'm not quite sure how that feature quite works, but it was interesting to see, and nice, of course, that it does at least let you create those playlists. As far as streaming and downloads go, this one downloads episodes by default. So this is something that you do want to catch quickly, so you are not having to go in manually to delete a lot of content. You can choose to either download your episodes or stream them. I would recommend streaming them because that's going to save you data down the road.
Are there any features that you wish Overcast had that it doesn't have?
I think the biggest thing that I wish it had that it does not, recommendations and discoverability. So discoverability has been this like long time pain point of the industry. How do we get our shows? How do we enable them to be found by users? So search experience was one of the things I kind of looked through all of these and rated as far as being able to find like a selection of podcasts. That experience has gotten better, but discoverability on this particular app, there are no recommendations. There's nothing from a trending standpoint. There's nothing from a curated standpoint to kind of point you toward your next listen. And that's something that, as somebody who listens to podcasts regularly, I enjoy that. I enjoy finding new fiction experiences. So that's kind of something that I wish that it had. But also, I think they probably were going for that really bare bones, simple layout. And I think that's probably why that wasn't included here. There is one feature that I will say, as it's been implemented in other apps, I think is becoming a necessity for a podcast app to have. That's something called smart resumption. And that's just when you put your podcast down, you hit pause, you hit stop. Maybe you come back to it a couple hours later, like a day later. It'll go back just a couple seconds to get you kind of back into the swing of listening. And it kind of gives you that mental marker of where you were. So I do like that. I feel like for me, that's a must-have feature. But other than that, other than the recommendations, as far as the features that this app has, I feel like there's a lot of ones that you mentioned with Podcast Addict. Let's see, shortening silence, or smart speed as they call it with this one, where you can shorten the silence in between sentences to sort of take out some of those more pregnant pauses, like if you're listening to like The Daily or something that's delivering news, but also delivering it in sort of a designed, you know, fully produced podcast sort of way, to be able to just kind of trim it down and cut down on the time. Was that something that you found in Podcast Addict too?
I didn't see that specific feature. I did see you can increase the playback speed.
Okay.
But that was the only thing I saw when I was poking around in Podcast Addict.
Yeah, that's another thing that for some people, as I've read through some of these recommendation articles and the research, that is for some, the speed adjustment, being able to increase the speed to, you know, 1.5 speed or double speed, that is a function they absolutely cannot live without. So if that is something that is true for you, Overcast does have that. I'm not quite sure that I won't sound like a chipmunk if you do that, but, you know, that is definitely your choice to be able to do that. Yeah, I can't really say too much about Overcast because there's not a whole lot here. I do know it's a pretty popular app. A lot of people really like it that don't want to have all of those other features. Like as you mentioned with Podcast Addict, there was confusion over some of what some of those icons mean and how everything is set up. I do think that some of the apps are a little chaotic. I think our next selection you could probably attest to as well as we move into our podcast host, Podbean. And I think there is a reason for the chaos here with Podbean.
I didn't have any initial questions, but now that you brought up that it's a listening app and also a podcast host, I was wondering if they only host podcasts that are hosted by Podbean or do they integrate other podcasts that are hosted by different websites. I didn't see anything about that in my very brief research, but now I'm curious about that.
So this is one that's actually pretty interesting because this is a feature that I have as a standout feature for Podbean, and that is the fact that both can be true. Your podcast can live on Podbean whether or not it is hosted there. And on the search page, when you go in there, there is a plus feed link at the very top that you can tap on, and you can actually add an RSS feed for a show if it is not currently on there. Out of all of the apps that I looked at, and from memory from some of the other ones that I've used that we have not featured here today, that is a feature that I have not seen anywhere else. So I do find that really interesting that they have that so front and center because I feel like that's not a typical user experience, but it does kind of go to show that Podbean really is trying to function as more than just one thing. Typically, most of the directories, the way that they work, you have your host and then your host company pushes your podcast out to other directories. Say, for instance, we're hosted on Podbean. Well, Podbean talks then to Apple Podcasts, which has its own level of directories that it pushes out. And then there's other ones that are directly communicated with through Podbean. So pretty much any podcast host will do that. There's a lot of them out there, but I think Podbean is probably one of the few that has exceptional functionality as both a podcast directory and a podcast listening app. Enough so that that's why we feature it as one of the links on a lot of our social media posts or even on our official podcast page. You'll see the little icon there that we're also on Podbean. It's a really good question. If you're not really familiar with how the podcast world works and how feed distribution works, you got an explainer on that. So yes, once again, I answered a question by including a dissertation on something else. So some of the other things on Podbean, this app compared to some of the others, it is one of the only apps that features the ability to comment and like episodes. That is just not functionality that is built into really many other apps at all. I believe Spotify is one of the only other ones where you can like an episode. You can add your review there or you can, you know, add your review on Apple. But this is the only one that actually allows for comments and back and forth on an episode. So if you ever have a comment that you want to leave us on a specific episode, you can certainly do that on Podbean. But yeah, that's one thing that's very, very unique to them. They also, going back to you mentioning that sleep timer, this is one of those that has a sleep timer as well. I can't say that I have ever used that as a practice. I tend to just, you know, I'll fall asleep with it playing and it just plays until I maybe wake up and turn it off if it's still on or if I get scared awake from a different podcast entirely playing than my sleep podcast. That's really fun because then it's a game of making sure that I turn it off fast enough that nobody else hears it and gets disrupted or woken up by it either, because I do have some that I listen to that they're not really on like the horror side, but they can get a little spooky.
You go to sleep listening to beautiful ethereal music, and then you wake up to a story about home invaders or something for a true crime podcast.
So it's funny, I don't listen to much true crime, but as far as the fiction podcasts go, some of the ones that I listen to do feature some pretty spooky stuff. I can handle a little bit more scary content when it's just audio content and the visual has been removed, because then I don't get the jump scares and I don't get the gore. But yeah, then there's just stories that are not always, you know, hard-hitting news stories. Does anybody want to wake up to that? No, not really.
I did want to bring up, Podbean does have a premium subscription, but they also have Golden Beans, which is a way of purchasing premium podcasts or supporting shows. I haven't really seen any other podcast apps where you can directly support the show and the creators. Most of them just have the premium subscription monthly. Usually, if you want to support a show, you have to go to like their website, their individual website and stuff like that. So I thought that was really, really nice for podcast creators to be able to actually receive support from listeners directly.
Yeah, feel free to send us some golden beans. Yeah, some of the other ones that are pretty popular, like you said, on their own website, or you'll have the Patreon, or Ko-Fi is another one, which I don't know if it's Ko-Fi or coffee, where you literally buy the creator a cup of coffee. That's what your donation is. But yeah, it's interesting that they include that, and then they also have the subscription level at, I believe, about $10 a month, and that will remove the ads. From what I had seen, the ads appear on the episode control screen in the area where the image art typically is displayed. It sort of pops up there, and also at the bottom in the form of those same banner ads like you mentioned before. One of the other unique features, different ways of being able to search. You have the ability to view trending and hot search lists, but then you also have the ability to, through kind of this recommendations and discover tab, look at trending episodes, top shows, there's curated playlists, there's also category selections. There's a lot here, and that kind of goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, that as far as user interface and experience goes, because there is so much functionality in here, it is a little bit chaotic. That's one thing that I would be aware of as you're going in, that there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve of kind of getting your bearings and getting comfortable in there. And then last but not least, I don't want to forget that Podbean is probably one of the more widely accessible apps as far as podcast listening goes. It is available for Android, for iOS, and you can also listen on the web. So there's a lot of compatibility there as far as where you're able to listen. And moving on to our next podcast app. This one is called Pocket Casts. Let's just touch on compatibility right away. This one was interesting because you have compatibility with Android and iOS with the app at the free level. It does have a plus tier and then I believe a premium tier. When you have that mid-level plus tier, that is when you unlock listening on the web, and it also unlocks the capability to use the app on your watch. And Tina, what are your thoughts on that?
That's very backwards to me because I feel like a lot of the apps that we've mentioned and most apps in general have a free web browser version. I know a lot of them that I mentioned on the previous Agent Apps episodes have a web browser version. So the fact that you have to pay for that is a little weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, that I sort of get it for the watch. That's, you know, that's a little bit more of a lift. It's more of, you know, a convenience, but really for the web, that was a little different. I would agree there. Pocket Casts was definitely interesting as far as its layout. I do think if you are familiar with some of the other listening apps that are out there that have more functionality built into them, you probably would be really at home here. It is pretty easy to navigate, and I do like a lot of the things that they have. probably should mention, definitely have the OPML import support. One of the things I really liked, they have a recommendations and discovery section with trending podcasts, sponsored shows, which is sort of how they handle part of their ad content. And then they also have curated selections that, depending on what the current time frame is, they sort of switch out those recommendations. And there's a lot of recommendations in there to be able to search through and really find new offerings that are probably going to be more so than what you would see if you're just looking at like a trending list. As far as the search experience goes, I was surprised. I was able to find our podcast just by searching ASG podcast, something that I usually mention when I say to search for our podcast is to type out the full name Agent Survival Guide Podcast. But I think this is really showing how far the search experience has come, because probably 4 or 5 years ago, if you would have looked in a podcast directory and tried to search for a title, you were almost forced to search the exact match of the title in order for it to come up. So being able to have a more intuitive search experience, I thought was really cool. And just to be able to be found by the nickname of our podcast, that was pretty cool. Typical features here, you have the ability to shorten silence. You can skip through ads. It does have that smart resumption. Here it is called intelligent playback resumption. You have the ability to adjust speed. And this one here, as far as streaming versus downloading, this one's kind of the opposite as what some of the other ones were, that this, you're going to stream the episodes unless you specify that you want episodes downloaded. So that's one cool thing, I think, to be able to turn on some of those features that you want to have rather than having to turn them off. Even when it comes to notifications, you can turn on notifications for new episodes, but it is turned off by default in Pocket Casts. Probably the last feature that I want to mention here that was a standout unique feature, and this is just something that was really fun, you have the ability to change the app icon even as a free user. So I actually switched mine to one that's really fun. Let me try and describe what the Pocket Casts, what the icon looks like.
The regular icon's like an orange circle with two C's inside of each other.
Yeah, and then the bottom right-hand corner of the circle is kind of open. So I actually switched mine to kind of a fun misheard version of it. I have mine switched to the icon for the Pocket Cats version. and all they've done is really they've flipped that little circle around so that the blank space would be at the top of the icon. And instead of it being blank, there's a little cat in there. So it's, yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
It's fantastic. I love that. There are also a couple other options that you can switch to at the just the plus tier. So there are some different fun icons for that level. But yeah, I thought it was really neat that even just as a free user, you're able to still switch that app icon, because sometimes apps tend to relegate that to only subscribers get this feature. Pricing on this one.
So I pulled up their website and you can have the option of plus for $39.99 a year or monthly at $3.99. And then they have a patron version. That one's $9.99 a month. And then yearly it's $99.99. So a little bit more expensive than the other ones we've talked about.
Yeah, I would think there has to be something in there. Like, you definitely get special app icons for being at the patron level. Now, one thing I did think was interesting was this. You get this exclusive content from Slumber Studios with your first year. And that's not one that I have really looked into. Okay, so Get Sleepy, I think I have that one. But it's kind of a network of sleep shows. But you get access to those through your subscription, which I think you're kind of starting to see this from some of the podcast directories, sort of like how the one that you mentioned, how Podcast Addict had the audiobooks functionality in their apps. And then you also have Spotify has been working to bring audiobooks in So I think you're going to start to see more of this bundling because, quite honestly, as you mentioned frequently in your apps episodes, we can only pay so much a month for these different subscriptions before things sort of have to start getting bundled together. But yeah, that's all I think I have for Pocket Casts. I will turn it over to you to talk about YouTube Music.
The first thing that I thought was interesting is YouTube Music is a separate app from the regular YouTube app. On web browser, it's kind of all together. You can access YouTube Music on the YouTube website. So the fact that you have to download another app was not giving a good impression to me.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised when this was first announced as this is what Google has announced as the alternative. They're suggesting people go here. I was surprised as well that it was a completely separate app because I guess it makes sense, you know, we kill off the podcast version of that and we just, you know, we have music and we have podcasts and probably eventually audiobooks in one place.
Mm-hmm. So for YouTube Music, it's definitely music focused. As far as the kind of our test of the variety of podcasts that it has, it didn't have a lot that were on our list that I feel like were pretty popular. As far as listening goes, I wasn't able to use the regular version. It automatically gave me a 2-week free trial that I could not exit. So at first I was like, oh, it's like ad-free. That's really great. But after reading reviews, they're like, no, there are a lot of advertisements. A lot of the users were very frustrated about. Similar to YouTube's regular video app, you get multiple advertisements.
It's interesting that they, I mean, interesting probably isn't the word smart, I guess, that they would give you 2 weeks without the ads and then, you know, turn them on again. Definitely frustrating. I know I'm not a fan of ads that are interruptive, and I feel like on YouTube the experience usually tends to be interruptive, but maybe we'll have to come back to that in another couple weeks and kind of get your word on that after the trial has run out. What else do you have about YouTube Music?
So right off the bat, you get the 2 weeks free trial. You can extend that to a month, and then after that, there's an individual plan for $10.99 a month, which features ad-free listening, music and podcast downloads, and background play. They do have a student plan for $5.49 a month and a family plan for $16.99, which is the same as the individual plan, but you can have up to 6 accounts per household. And both of those have free trials as well. I know Spotify has the family plan. I don't know how many spots you get for that one.
They do. They have a dual where you can have 2, and that is more than what the premium version is. And then there is the family level, which haven't gone to either of those. I still just have the individual premium at this point. But we also are not listening on multiple devices.
Looks like the Spotify premium, which is, I know that's what my parents have. I still mooch off their Spotify. Is 6 accounts for $16.99. So the same, but as far as podcast experience, I didn't really like YouTube Music. Like I said, the variety wasn't really there. The fact that it does have a lot of advertisements and doesn't have a lot of the features that many of the other apps we talked about. You can adjust the playback speed much like you can in the regular YouTube app, so you can speed it up if you want to. But this one, it was honestly very bare bones as far as for podcasts. It does have the option to watch the podcast video. I know a lot of podcasts upload their videos onto YouTube, so you can choose between listening or watching. I don't know why you would want to watch it on the music app because the screen is a lot smaller. And at that point, if I'm watching a podcast, I'm going to do it on regular YouTube.
Right. That seems almost counterintuitive. It's like we appreciate the inclusion of that feature, I guess. If you're hoping that people are going to use it as a standalone app, which whether or not that's the idea, I would almost think if I were YouTube that I would try to be taking them from YouTube Music and then, hey, do you want to watch this over here? Here's where you can access it on the actual regular video channel. But yeah, I think I'm kind of with you that if it's If it's a video, I'm going to watch it on YouTube rather than watching it on YouTube Music.
Yeah. One thing with YouTube Music, I know this sounds kind of weird, but because they have the video option, you can have closed captions for your podcast. I know the whole point of a podcast is you're listening, but for some people who have difficulty with like audio instructions or just processing, like I watch Netflix with closed captions even in English. I thought that was a neat feature. I'm not sure if it's just for the podcasts with videos or if it extends to podcasts with just audio, if they also have closed captions. I'll have to look a little more into that. But I did like that feature.
Yeah, that was something that Apple just recently released with one of their most recent updates. And I have to wonder if it is in response to a lot of people who are watching TV that have watched some of these more popular shows where the dialogue is very mumbled or purposefully obfuscated to try and sort of hide or make you have to go back and watch it again. We've all kind of learned from this, and turning captions on has become something that is almost a normal for, I feel like, it's not even newer generations. I can't even say this is a Gen Z thing because I feel like it's a millennial thing too. But yeah, that's interesting that they chose to include that. I'd be curious if it's there for regular audio episodes as well. Anything else that you have to tell us about YouTube Music?
Yes, there is one thing. Because I signed into YouTube Music with my Google account that's connected to my regular YouTube app, it did offer suggestions of shows that were based off my viewing from YouTube.
Well, that's invasive.
So, I mean, it's the same Google account. It's connected. So it suggested some podcasts that some of the YouTube channels that I follow have podcasts. So yeah. They suggested those, which I thought was neat because sometimes YouTubers, they have like a podcast. Sometimes they'll have multiple podcasts, but they don't really advertise them on their YouTube channel. So I thought that was a neat feature.
Interesting. If you've got the data to do that and you're trying to make your product as sticky as it possibly can be, I mean, that is certainly one way to do it.
So YouTube Music does have smart downloads if you're a premium member. But you need to reconnect to an internet source at least every 30 days to maintain your downloads. I thought that was pretty interesting. It doesn't just automatically keep them.
Which I guess that's good if you're not. It's almost like them coming out and saying, hey, if you give us a try and you don't like us, after a month, we'll stop these automatic downloads and we won't bog down your device with all of this, with all of these episodes. So I guess yay for YouTube Music. If you were switching from Google Podcasts today to something else, which app would you pick based on your research and what you've heard here today?
I think out of the five we listed today, I would go Podcast Addict or Podbean. Probably Podcast Addict. I know that's the one I reviewed, but I did really like it and a lot of the features it had. And I think Podbean is very similar, but it's, you said it's chaotic, but I feel like it's a little more simpler as far as user experience than Podcast Addict.
Okay.
At least as far as like navigation goes. But I think those two would be ones that I would use.
Okay. Yeah, if I had to answer that same question, I think I would probably say I would go with Pocket Casts first, just because, and this is based on my current listening habits and all of that, I am so used to Spotify that I feel like Pocket Casts is so similar, but there's a lot of really neat features there. And I really liked the recommendation and discover experience that they had. Podbean probably would be my second, just because there's a lot of those recommendations. I really like the comments on Podbean. I wish that is something that some of the other apps would bring into their apps as well, just to be able to get that conversation going a little bit more. Right now, it's really difficult to interact in a way that is easy for what you're doing at the time when you're listening to an episode. I think having the ability to just like and throw a comment in there right where you're listening, that would be really nice if some of the others would add it. But yeah. Definitely would go for Pocket Casts or Podbean. I can't say that I would recommend YouTube Music, but if you're the type of person, what you were saying with watching YouTube and having some of those recommendations pulled over, I think if you were someone who watches a lot of your podcast content on YouTube, YouTube Music might be like the next most intuitive thing if you're taking it along with you when you go, and to be able to have those just kind of automatically come over. But yeah.
Oh, now that you mention YouTube Music does not support the OPML, so I'm not sure how that would work.
Interesting.
Getting your Google Podcasts onto YouTube Music. I figure they should have a way because they're both Google, but could
yeah,
do a quick Google search.
I think there is a way to do it because, I mean, when you open Google Podcasts, it literally is right there that it tells you, hey, we're going away at such and such a date. Yeah, it says after April 2nd, 2024, you'll no longer be able to listen to podcasts in Google Podcasts. Export your subscriptions now. It looks like you can. Oh, yeah. It looks like you can either export them to YouTube Music or you can download the OPML file. That's probably why they probably will accept whatever that transfer is from Google Podcasts, mm-hmm. but they might not necessarily have the functionality set up to be able to support an export from a completely different podcast directory and then into there. So that's kind of interesting as well. So keep that in mind. Yeah, hopefully this will help you to figure out which one of these apps you would like to switch to if you are a Google Podcasts user, and this will hopefully make the process a little bit easier. Any closing thoughts that you have?
Honestly, I'm probably going to switch from Spotify to Podcast Addict for my overall listening. I don't follow a lot of podcasts on Spotify just because the way I listen is just very chaotic, but I think I'm going to probably switch over to have it a little more concise.
Interesting. I think the one most interesting thing that I've heard when I have read about different podcast directories is that a lot of people hands down will say, you know, Podcast Addict or Pocket Cast, that those are really just fully realized apps for the actual art of podcast listening. So I will not be switching from Spotify because I am too bought in and baked in at this point that it's still very easy to switch from the music listening to the podcast listening. And the fact that with the premium subscription, I get the audiobooks on top of that, I just can't quit Spotify just yet. But Tina, I want to say thank you for being here today and agreeing to do this episode.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, this was a very fun kind of experimental episode. So if you guys like this episode, definitely let us know. And before we end the episode, we do have to talk about the question of the week. So last week's question, which would you rather read the story, listen to the story, or watch the movie? It looks like we've got a lot of movie fans out there because that was the number one pick. For those of you who participated, just want to say thanks for listening and thank you for your vote. And for this week's question, do you want to pose that to our listeners, Tina?
Sure. Out of all five of the apps that we went over today, Podcast Addict, Overcast, Podbean, Pocket Casts, and YouTube Music, just from our review, which one would you most likely download?
Alrighty. Questions can be voted on from the time the episode goes live until the following Thursday at 8 a.m. And then in our next Friday 5 episode, we will reveal the top choice of these five apps. And depending on how the response goes, maybe we'll give you the rankings of the other ones. Depends on how many votes we get. So make sure you get in there and vote. You can do that with the link in our episode notes. But that is all we have got for this week's episode. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay healthy and stay safe out there.
And we will see you next week.
The Agent Survival Guide podcast is a production of Ritter Insurance Marketing, an Integrity company. This episode was researched and recorded by myself and Tina Lamoureux, with production by me, Sarah Ruppel. Podcast designed by Urban Rivera. Artwork by Vivian Zhao. Follow along with us wherever you like to listen.